Hello and welcome back to another edition of Simply Serie A, the Italian football podcast brought to you by the 90 Min Network. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeu, and I'm delighted to be joined by my co-host, by the right-hand man, by the main man, actually, because he's a fountain of Italian football knowledge. Welcome, Mr. Vittorio Campanile. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thanks. What about yourself? Happy for the first win?
Yeah, delighted. Arsenal are off the mark, so it makes things a little bit easier. It made getting up for work on Monday morning that little bit easier for sure. Let's take you through the results from round three of the Serie A, starting with Empoli 1, Venezia 2, a first victory of the season for everybody's second team at the moment, I would say. Napoli 2, Juventus 1, Atalanta 1, Fiorentina 2. Moving on to Sunday, it was Sampdoria 2, Inter 2, Spezia 0, Udinese 1, Torino 4, Salernitana 0, Cagliari 2, Genoa 3, Milan 2, Lazio 0, Roma 2, Sassuolo 1. And the Monday night game was between Bologna and Verona, with Bologna coming out on top, 1-0 win for them. And I guess the best place to start, Vittorio, is with the news regarding Di Francesco, because just before we've gone on to record this episode, the news is broken that Di Francesco has been sacked by Hellas Verona. We've talked about Di Francesco in the past and that maybe he would be the first manager to get sacked this season. But to see it happen so early, it's come as a bit of a surprise to me. What do you make of it all?
Yeah, honestly, surprised that it arrived in September. But, you know, this manager has done terrible in the last 3 years. I was just watching a stat that say that in the last 19 matches in Serie A, Di Francesco have won none. So, wow. You know, these are huge, huge numbers, very negative. And the first question I have in mind, why do you select a manager like that? I mean, he failed in Roma. He find a place in Sampdoria, failed at Sampdoria immediately, went to Cagliari, failed again Cagliari, and find a spot in Verona. How can this be possible? I mean, there are plenty of good managers who are looking for a team in Serie A, and Di Francesco, who has been terrible in the last 3 years, every time is able to land in a new club, in a Serie A club, not only a new club, but in a Serie A club. This is simply astonishing. Plus, we are talking about Verona, that has been probably one of the biggest surprise in the last 2 years in Serie A. Not at the level of Atalanta, but everybody was saying Verona will fight for relegation. And 2 years ago was fighting for Europa League, you know. Why do you go and take Di Francesco? I don't know. Probably he has a very, very, very good agent. Because as I said, in the last 19 matches, he didn't win a single match. That's really hard, you know. So didn't expect happening in September. I thought maybe in October, but definitely saw that coming.
Yeah, for sure. I was going to say to you, because Verona, you mentioned, they're a club that have surprised people. They have underachieved. I know the table is very kind of misleading at this moment, right? We're only three games into the season. And while you can look at the situation and say, obviously, it's not as good as it needs to be, or it's not, you know, acceptable, where do you believe that Verona should be looking to finish? Because I think for our listeners who maybe don't follow Italian football as closely and who maybe have a lesser knowledge of the kind of smaller profile clubs, where would you say is a fair position for Hellas Verona to be aiming for?
Well, the biggest thing with Verona is that 3 years ago, they were the big surprise. And last summer, they sold a lot of quality players. Amrabat finished to Verona, to Fiorentina, Kumbulla to Roma, and everybody was saying, okay, they have no chance. And Juric, that is a very good manager that now is at Torino, find a way to place them in a comfortable position, not Europa League fighting, but mid-table, you know, avoiding relegation. This summer happened pretty much the same thing. Zaccagni went to Lazio, other players have been sold. But the problem is they don't have Juric anymore. So, you know, they will struggle if they don't find a good manager. So I think the position would be this year trying to not get relegated because they lost a lot of other key players. But I think, you know, with a good manager, they can make it. Now, obviously, I don't think Di Francesco was the answer to this problem. So that's where I think the team will be positioned. You have to be honest and say there are teams like Salernitana, for example, that I don't think they're going to be able to fight for the relegation. They're already, you know, dead last, 0 points. I don't think they're going to get much points. So you have to get above other two teams. So that makes it a little bit easier. But, you know, it depends. The rumors are they're going to sign Tudor, who I think is another terrible manager. So that's not going to improve a lot, you know. And again, the question is, why do you sign Tudor, who hasn't been very successfully? So, yeah, I think at this point, they're going to fight for relegation.
Yeah, sounds about right. Let's move on to one of the big games of the weekend. It was Napoli versus Juventus. Juventus not getting off to the start this season that many people would have hoped for. Max Allegri finding life a little bit difficult on his return. I was looking through some of the Italian papers this morning. Corriere dello Sport leads with a line, "Guys, wake up," talking about Juventus. Obviously, they were beaten by 2-1. Matteo Politano and Kalidou Koulibaly with the goals for Napoli. Alvaro Morata actually put Juve in the lead. It was really good work from Morata. It was a mistake from Manolas, but he finished it really, really well. And I must admit, Vittorio, watching the game after 11 minutes, when Morata did break the deadlock and open the scoring, I felt like this might be the turning point for Juve. This might be the kickstart that they need. But they just look a little bit toothless, don't they? They just don't look right.
Yeah, you're right saying that, you know, after that goal, the match could change. And because the first 10 minutes, you have to be honest, Napoli dominated. And that was pretty much the first and only chance Juventus had. And when you score the first chance after you've been struggling so much, you know, the match can change. Instead, it didn't. I think there's an incredible lack of quality in Juventus this year. Yes, people can argue, well, we didn't have Dybala and so on. But I think in the midfield of Juventus, there's a lack of quality that it's unbelievable. I think Juventus has overrated and overpaid players now. McKennie is considered the best midfielder there, and he's an average player, I would say. Arthur, again, he's not playing, but is he that good? You know, there's a lack of quality. A couple of years ago, these players would be on the bench. Now they're starting for Juventus. You have to be honest. Juventus scored with an incredible mistake of Manolas. They didn't have that many chances after that. It was a weird match because Napoli dominated. But again, the 2 goals from Napoli were, again, 2 bad mistakes. One from Szczęsny that is having an awful season. Awful season for Szczęsny. I know you could be smiling because he was a former Arsenal player, but the beginning of the season of Szczęsny, it's awful. The mistake he made on the first goal for Napoli is simply unacceptable for a player, a goalkeeper of that level. And the second goal, again, Keane was trying to make a no goal on a corner kick. So, you know, Napoli deserved to win, but it's incredible that a team dominated that much and scored only thanks to 2 terrible mistakes of Juventus. Still, this team is lacking of quality.
Yeah, it is. And I do agree with your midfield point as well, because, you know, you mentioned Weston McKennie. I think he's vastly overrated. I really do. You look at, you know, Adrian Rabiot, who was in there as well. And there's something about Adrian Rabiot that I just don't like. I don't find him technically kind of secure enough. I don't think that he gives, I think he can close people down and he can be quite physical. And I thought that was one of the reasons he'd be a hit in Serie A, but he hasn't really lived up to the hype, I don't think. And then, of course, Manuel Locatelli came in the summer from Sassuolo. And again, you know, I'm not saying that Locatelli's a bad player, because I think we saw in the Euros that he's clearly a very talented player, but he doesn't look at home in the Juventus side, to me anyway. Would you agree with that?
And this was his first start. There was already rumors. You signed Locatelli and he doesn't play. Why did you buy him? Etc. I thought he was the best there. But the question is, was he the best because he played well or because the other two were so rubbish that, you know, even I would have played better? And I totally agree with you on Rabiot. You know, question mark. Why Paris Saint-Germain let a player like that go free, right? You know, the mother is a big problem. You know his behavior is a little bit an issue. He's very physical, but I think he hasn't got the quality. He's not very smart as a football player. I don't see a big value in that player, honestly. So Locatelli shine compared to the other two. But again, I don't think Locatelli at that point is a game changer. And then you go and see Napoli and you see, you know, they have a lot of quality players. That should be Juventus midfield that has more quality, not Napoli. So there's a big problem. And, you know, people thought, okay, Allegri comes in, they start winning again like before. Yeah, Allegri is the manager. He's not playing, right? He needs quality players. And yes, Dybala would definitely help because he can be a great player who can make you win matches. But apart from Dybala, Chiesa can be, but Chiesa is a player who plays a lot on his own. So, you know, it's not very easy for Allegri at this point.
Why is it that... yeah, I mean, you're right. You look at that Napoli midfield, Ruiz, Anguissa, who's obviously joined them this season. Elmas has had a really good start to the season, hasn't he? I think you've got to say. What have you made of Napoli, though? Because it's all good sort of criticising Juventus, but Napoli did play very well. They've had 100% start to the season. Did you expect Spalletti to get them going so quickly? And do you expect them to be able to maintain this level throughout the season?
So to our listener of last year, I always told, right, that Gattuso was a problem for Napoli. And I think with the same team, because it's pretty much the same team of last year, Napoli, they didn't do big signing. But with a good manager, I think Spalletti is a good manager. They can definitely do much more than last year. And I think with Juventus like that, with Inter like that, they can definitely fight for the Scudetto. Spalletti has the experience. He didn't win it. He went close, but he's a definitely much better manager. He has experience because Napoli is very similar to Rome. It's completely a different atmosphere. It's difficult to live in those cities, especially when you're winning. You know, you have to calm down people, etc. But Spalletti has the right experience. I think they can really challenge Inter for the Scudetto. Now, obviously, I don't see the perfect team this year in Serie A. Napoli has problems. But compared to the other teams and considering Spalletti's experience, I think they really can make it. Now, Osimhen has to improve. He has all the qualities, but he has to become a more all-around striker. He's not there anymore. In defense, people look and say Manolas and Koulibaly, they are probably the best two central defenders. But both of them make silly mistakes. It's not the first mistake Manolas made in the past year. Koulibaly at the same time makes a lot of mistakes. So they have to focus a little bit there, but they have the quality and the depth really to challenge for the Scudetto. And they don't play the Champions League. So this is another big advantage.
Yeah, for sure. I was really intrigued by the incident that happened after the game as well. And it's one of the things I love about Italian football, when the passion spills over. Spalletti was upset with Max Allegri. He said he went to salute him after the game and that Allegri just carried on walking and ignored him. And Spalletti's press conference was gold, wasn't it? He said, "I've always lost against Juve. For once I win, now you're lecturing me for crying out loud." Fantastic stuff. But I mean, Allegri doesn't, I don't know, he looks a little bit on edge, doesn't he? And I know that the results haven't gone the way he would have liked, and there was a lot of hype around him coming back, and there were people looking in from the outside saying, well, Juve are definitely going to win the Scudetto now that Allegri's back. It hasn't started that like that, and I think you're starting to see Max Allegri getting a little bit edgy. What do you make of his kind of demeanor at the moment?
Well, you know, we have to think about one thing in particular. Serie A football have changed a lot since last time Allegri was managing Juventus. If you go now and see, pretty much all teams, all top teams, playing a very offensive mind football. Milan with Pioli, Inter with Inzaghi, Lazio with Sarri, Roma with Mourinho, and Spalletti as well with Napoli. So football have changed a lot in Serie A, while Allegri is still, you know, backing his type of football that is not offensive mind football. We just care of winning. We don't want to play great football. And, you know, maybe he's a little bit behind. Maybe football move on. This is something that happens to managers, right? A couple of years ago, they were top quality managers, and now football have changed and they didn't update themselves, and so they're left behind. This is the question mark that we have with Max Allegri. Plus, and I said it already, managers are important, but if you give Guardiola to Leeds United, Leeds United won't win the Premier League, right? Maybe they would do a little bit better than now, but you need quality players, especially with a manager with Allegri. You have managers that, you know, like Bielsa, that with the type of football they play, they can bring points even though the team is not amazing. With Allegri, it's the opposite. You have to give them champions, quality players, top players to get points. So I don't think Juventus has a quality team enough. So there are question marks there, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on to Inter. They were held to a 2-2 draw by Tommy's boys, Sampdoria. Federico Di Marco opened the scoring with a stunning free kick to put Inter in front before Maya Yoshida's deflected effort squeezed in to level things up. Inter then took the lead again after an excellent run from Barella. It was a top-class delivery into the box, and Lautaro Martinez made no mistake with the finish. But Tommaso Augello volleyed home to level it for Sampdoria. Both sides had chances to win it, didn't they? Calhanoglu had a really good chance for Inter. Damsgaard saw his effort cleared off the line by D'Ambrosio. So what did you make of Inter's performance overall? I mean, you know, Inter's start to the season has been pretty strong up until now. So them dropping a couple of points isn't the end of the world. But did you see anything that concerns you for the longer term about Simone Inzaghi's side? Of course, he's a manager you know very well.
Yeah, well, you have to make two different points, right? Last year against Sampdoria, away, they lost. So you can see this as an improvement. But usually when Inter goes ahead, they usually win the match. And they went twice ahead against Sampdoria, and they were unable to keep the 3 points. So this is a question mark. We said it. You lose Lukaku, Dzeko is not the perfect replacement. And we are seeing it, right? These were the perfect matches for Lukaku. Usually against this team, Lukaku plays a hat-trick or score a couple of goals and Inter wins the team. Dzeko didn't score. Yeah, he made the right movement for the score, the goal of Lautaro Martinez, but that's not enough from a number nine of Inter. You expect more. So there are problems there. You have to give time to Inzaghi because, yes, the 3-5-2 is similar to Antonio Conte. It's similar, but it's not the same type of football. So you need to give him time. Sampdoria, it's a quite good team. It's not very easy to beat. So this is something you have to consider. At the same time, you have to admit that Inter is not as good as last year. But I think no one expected that. So as I said before, Napoli can challenge for the Scudetto because Inter has dropped quality. And then there is another problem. Sensi is a great player, but is injury prone. He came in the second half and got injured. Inter already made the 5 substitution, so they had to play with Sensi injured for the last, 10 minutes or so. And obviously, when you're playing like that, it's very difficult to win a match. So Inter can be happy that they got a point, considering that they had Sensi on the pitch who wasn't playing. But again, this rises other problem. Can Sensi play still with Inter if every time he comes in, he gets injured? Should Inter look for a replacement for a player that it's able to play 90 minutes, who is able to play, you know, all season long and not just 5-6 matches a season? And then Correa, because starting of the season, Correa was amazing. He scored twice in the first match, etc. Lazio fan, remember Correa. Correa is a very good player, but someone who missed so many chances. So I think we are getting back to the Correa that we saw at Rome. And that's another problem, because with Dzeko not scoring, if Correa stops scoring, then Inter hasn't got that many options there in front to score. So that could be a problem going forward. Still, I believe Inter has the best team in Serie A at the moment, especially considering that Juventus sold Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I think what we need to see from Inter is we need to see the goals shared around a little bit more, don't we? Because you've mentioned the departure of Romelu Lukaku, which is obviously massive. And you mentioned Edin Dzeko and the movement that he made for the first goal, for the second goal, et cetera, et cetera. And we've talked a lot about Edin Dzeko at the start of this season as being a very good center forward in terms of link up play, in terms of making the right movement, in terms of being the man to hold the ball up and bring other people into the game. He's fantastic at that. In fact, I'm not sure there's many better in that particular aspect of the game than Edin Dzeko, but he's not going to score the same level of goals, as you've said. And, you know, it's very difficult to replace a Romelu Lukaku, especially when your finances are in a bit of a mess. So I think what Inter need to be looking at, they need more goals out of Calhanoglu. They need Lautaro Martinez to up his input, his output. Sorry. They need, you know, some of the midfield maybe to chip in a little bit. It's definitely a bit of a concern at how they are going to replace those Lukaku goals. Because Dzeko kind of half solves the problem, I think, but doesn't you know, completely.
And the problem, you know what, is normally teams that win the league has a number nine that scores a lot of goals. You know, last year, Lukaku scored. 2 years ago, Cristiano Ronaldo scored a lot of goals and Juventus won the Scudetto. So this is the biggest question mark. Can a team win the Serie A league without a top scorer or someone going, you know, scoring 20 goals a season? Because Dzeko is not going to do it. I don't think Lautaro Martinez will be able to do that, or Correa, or Sanchez, or someone else. So Inzaghi has to make sure that the midfield scores more than they did last year, which is not easy. But, you know, with Cristiano Ronaldo gone, Lukaku gone, they are not big numbers nine. And that's why Inter this summer tried to sign Icardi. It was pretty much Juventus, when they sold Cristiano Ronaldo. They tried to sign Icardi. It was impossible because they didn't have that much money, but it would be a better fit than, Morata to replace Cristiano Ronaldo. And Inter had to do the same. I don't think Dzeko was the solution. In fact, they was trying to sign Zapata from Atalanta, but things didn't go up that way.
Yep, agreed. Agreed. Moving on to your boys, Vittorio, a 2-0 defeat at Milan, and both sides had gone into this game having made flawless starts to their Serie A campaign. Before we talk about Milan, give us the kind of a Lazio view on how this one went.
Well, I don't know if the team went to Milan. I'm not sure about that because Lazio didn't show up pretty much. I mean, the result is 2-0, but Milan missed a penalty. I don't remember shots on target of Lazio on Sunday, you know. It's true that Milan as well didn't have big chances, or Reina didn't do unbelievable saves. But still, Milan dominated. Milan dominated. So Milan deserved to win. Again, they miss a penalty at the end of the first half. And, you know, if Kessié scored there, then maybe they can score other two goals in the second half. So, yeah. Milan dominated in the midfield. Lazio pretty much didn't show up. Milan could be, I don't know if I can say a surprise, but definitely can fight for the Scudetto. Now, the question mark I have with Milan is they're playing the Champions League, and I don't think they have the depth enough to compete on both Champions League and Serie A. But if Pioli find a way, this team can definitely fight for the Scudetto, because the big difference, they have Ibrahimovic and Giroud that can provide those goals that Inter don't know where they're going to be able to find it, and Juventus as well. So, you know, the biggest question mark I have with Milan is the Champions League. But if you take only the match, Sunday match, Milan is a great team. They deserve to win, and I'm a Lazio fan. So, you know, I could say, the referee was terrible, we were unlucky, etc. No, guys, unfortunately, Lazio didn't show up.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, agreed. I didn't want to go in too hard. I thought I'd let you do it, seeing as it's your team. But no, I agree. They didn't turn up at all. And just moving on to Milan, that point about them being in the Champions League and the lack of depth potentially being an issue for them. I think I was talking to a Milan fan the other day, and I kind of said to him, and he didn't want to hear it, obviously. But I basically said, actually, I know the aim will be for Milan to progress into the knockout phase of the Champions League. But actually, if they did fall short, if they did crash out in the group stages, I know a club with the pride of Milan would be disappointed by that. But I think it could work out to be a blessing in disguise, because let's face it, they're not going to win the competition. But it does give them that opportunity to work week on week and just prepare for the Serie A games, as you said, from Sunday to Sunday most weeks, and, you know, really focus on that.
And I agree on that. And we have to say that they weren't very lucky, or they were very lucky. I don't know, as you want to point it out, because the group is very complicated, right? They play at Liverpool, Wednesday, and you know, winning, it's not impossible. It's not impossible because Napoli did it, etc., but it's very hard. And then they have Atletico Madrid, right? Or Porto. Porto should be the weakest team, but you know, Porto is still a very good team with experience in Champions League, etc. So maybe they have been lucky because they can say, hey, we tried our best. We went out in the group, but it was really, really hard. So, you know, we're going to try next year. But as you were saying, if they get out immediately from the group, they can focus on the champion, on the Serie A. And as I said, I think if they're out of the European competition, they can really go forward and win the Scudetto, or fight at least for the Scudetto. Then you have to see if they arrive third, then they're going to move to Europa League. Will Pioli change something, play the B team in Europa League, etc. But definitely, they'll try to lose with pride, you know, without going in there and losing 5-0 against Liverpool and 4-0 against Atletico Madrid. They'll put up a fight. But if they get out, I mean, they have a big chance to win the Scudetto, especially if Inter goes through in the Champions League group. So who knows what's the better solution for them, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's one of those where, as we say, they don't want to go out. Obviously, they'd love to progress, and they haven't been in the Champions League for so long.
Let's not forget that Inter pretty much did the same thing last year, right? Mm. They went out immediately. People were complaining. I remember in January, people were saying, Conte out, unbelievable, Inter out of the Champions League, etc. And then they win the Scudetto, and Conte was suddenly the best manager in the world. And just 4 months ago, people were tweeting Conte out. So, you know, this could be the perfect solution. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say perfect if you lose in the group phase in the Champions League. But if you go and win the Scudetto, I think that every Milan fan will take it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Just a couple of players I wanted to mention as well, from a Milan point of view. Obviously, Ibra stole the headlines, as he always does, come off the substitutes bench. I thought it was incredible. He sort of crouched down to tie his shoelaces as the ball went out to Rebic, and he just turned around. He made the run into the box, and he accelerated, didn't he, at just the right moment to create that space for Rebic to pick him out. Fantastic goal. I wanted to talk a little bit about Rafael Leao, because he's a player who, to me, has got lots of talent, but has always looked a little bit raw, has always looked like he's just missing that final bit of quality when it matters. I was really impressed with his role in Milan's opener. Is he a player that you expect to go up a level this season and be very key?
Well, you know, my YouTube channel, I said before the match, players that Lazio have to watch out are Leao and Ibrahimovic, because with the speed of Leao, he can create a lot of problems to Lazio, and that will happen, right? His acceleration on the first goal split Lazio in two, and he was all alone and could score. I totally agree with you. He has so much quality, so much talent. Now it's the time to show it up, because let's be honest, there are so many quality players, talented players, that at the end of the season don't do nothing, or 10-20% of what they could do. I mean, think about Ravel Morrison, right? Alex Ferguson said that he was the best player he ever managed. What is he doing? Where is he? League One, Champions, Championship playing, right? So, you know, there are this type of players that has a lot of talent and are not able to do nothing. So Leao has to prove that he has talent, and he learns how to use it, how to be able to do things. And unfortunately, he showed up in the wrong match for me. But, you know, he can do a lot of things. He can be very, very important for Milan, because especially in Serie A, fast players can make a difference in the league. So I expect a great season for him.
Another player I just wanted to quickly get your thoughts on was Sandro Tonali, because I think we said it on one of the podcasts earlier this season that this was kind of the make or break season for him. You know, there wasn't much pressure on him last time out, and now it is time for him to step up. And I thought he was excellent at the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, we said it last year, he played very bad. This year, he wanted to stay at AC Milan. There were problems because Milan said didn't have enough money to pay the deal they made with Brescia. So he had to cut his salary to make it and stay here. And he's proving that he has the quality to be a AC Milan player. Now, it's just the third match of the season. It's very, very early. But, you know, things started very well. And with youngsters like Tonali, starting well is really important. It gives you confidence. And when you play with confidence, everything is much easier, right? You can play relaxed with confidence and try different things, very difficult things. And when you have confidence, things work out better. So, you know, the season is just started, but it started definitely well. And, you know, even for the national team, having back Tonali would be a big boost for us.
Yep, for sure. Moving on to Roma, who defeated Sassuolo by 2-1. This was a cracking game. It was incredible. And I've got to be honest, I didn't plan to watch this one. I sat there. I had about half an hour spare before I was scheduled to do something. And I sat down and I put it on and I was hooked. And I ended up watching the entire game and completely messed up my plans for the evening. But I mean, Roma have started the season brilliantly. It must be painful as a Lazio fan. but I thought they were slightly fortunate against Sassuolo, because I think when you watch that game in full, you can appreciate that Sassuolo certainly didn't deserve to leave the Olimpico empty-handed.
Well, Rui Patricio made a couple of great saves, right? So that's why Roma was able to win. But normally, except Milan-Lazio, on all the other matches, pretty much all matches at this level could have gone both ways, right? Sassuolo could have won it if they took one or two chances they had. And same thing, Roma won it because they took the chance they had. So Sassuolo is a very entertaining team, especially for neutral fans of football. Because, you know, sometimes being a fan of Sassuolo, it's hard because you play great football and then you go home with 0 points. And this is exactly what happened against Roma on Sunday. Roma, you know, Mourinho, when Mourinho has confidence, when he gives confidence to the team, this team is able to do everything. So Roma can really be a big challenge for every team in Serie A. Maybe the team is not the best, but with Mourinho, when Mourinho is able to give confidence to the team, they can be very dangerous. And we know that usually Mourinho's team starts really, really well. And this is what's happening with Roma. They have quality players because they have Zaniolo who's coming back, Abraham, etc., etc. So I think Roma can be a very dangerous team.
Yeah, for sure. They sit top of the table at the moment. Maximum points, 9 points from their 3 games. They've scored 9 goals as well in those 3 games. So they're averaging 3 a game and they've conceded just the 2 so far. So very encouraging start to the season. But I think what was key there, Vittoria, what you said, is that Mourinho teams always start well. And there will be a point in the season where it will be more challenging. And I think that's when we can learn a little bit more about whether Mourinho has what it takes to take Roma up to that next level. But certainly an encouraging start. There's no doubt about that. And of course, Mourinho's celebration from El Shaarawy's goal was quite the sight, wasn't it? To see him sprinting up and down the touchline. Flashbacks to Porto at Old Trafford back in the early 2000s, I think it was. So yeah, long time ago, but
He's a passionate manager, right? He's a passionate manager. He always says he's an Inter fan. But when you're managing another team, you are the number one fan, right? So he celebrated. It was a very important match for him. So, I mean, it makes totally sense. And let's be honest, we said that the signing of Mourinho was a great signing for Roma. But at the same time, there were a lot of experts saying, you know, Mourinho is done. He's going to be fired in October or things like that. So he had to prove a lot of people wrong, and that's what's happening. The question mark is, you know, Roma team is not the best team, but, you know, Mourinho hasn't had to win the Scudetto. Reaching the Champions League would be a great achievement. So let's see what happens. But especially in the first month, Roma can be very, very dangerous.
Yeah, for sure. And it was Mourinho's 1,000th game as well, which is, I think, why he went so crazy when that goal went in. He definitely didn't want to lose that. He said that he'd played it down in the build-up.
Yeah.
But after the game, he was obviously delighted. Just a couple of other points to mention. Atalanta lost at home to Fiorentina. Now, Fiorentina have won 2 of their opening 3 games. I think a lot of people expected them to do better this season under Vincenzo Italiano, but have you been impressed by what you've seen so far? Are you expecting them to really kick on?
Well, it's like the third summer that Fiorentina makes an impressive transfer market. So I was expecting something last year, but they picked the wrong manager. Now, this year they have Italiano, who has been very good last year with Spezia. And they have some quality players. I love Vlahovic. He still have to improve, but he's a great striker. He scored 2 penalties, so that, you know, that's not unbelievable. But he has quality. He can still improve. He's very young. I think Fiorentina can fight for a Europa League position, definitely. And it's going to be very challenging going forward to face Fiorentina. On the other side, there's a team, Atalanta, who, it's unbelievable to say, but is struggling to score. Atalanta was the best attacking team, scored most goals last year, and now they're really struggling. Zapata came back. Muriel is still out. It's not the same Atalanta of last year, I have to say. And I don't know. The players are pretty much the same. There's something going on. Plenty of time to fix the issue. But, you know, the first signs are not very good because they lost against Fiorentina. They drew at home last time. So there are some concern about Atalanta. And on the other side, Fiorentina is improving, is growing slowly. And definitely they can be a surprise this year.
Absolutely. Completely agree. I mentioned in the introduction, Venezia got their first win of the season. Everybody is willing them to do well. I think it's because people like their kit more than anything else, if I'm being honest. But yeah, great to see them obviously pick up a win at Empoli. But the final team I wanted to mention, Vittorio, is Udinese, because they won at Spezia this weekend. They're 5th in the table so far. And I know it's obviously early days, but you know, they've looked pretty solid at the start of the season. 7 points from their opening 3, 2 wins and a draw, so they're unbeaten still. What should be the aim for somebody like Udinese this season? Is Europa League or Europa Conference League asking too much?
Well, you know, the problem with Udinese is that the owner tried to make money out of the team more than fight for a Europa League position, etc. 10, 20 years ago, Udinese was fighting for the Champions League. So that was different times. Now they're trying out, you know, they sold Depaul, that was the best player they had. And, you know, if you're a team that is trying to improve every year, then probably you would. And they sold Musso, the goalkeeper, that has been really good. So if you're fighting to improve every year, you shouldn't sell your top 2 players in the summer, right? But again, Udinese try to make smart moves. They signed Silvestri on a cheap deal. Silvestri is a good goalkeeper, and they usually are very good in signing youngsters. So Udinese is a very tough team. We have to be honest. Spezia deserved to win. They missed so many chances Sunday, and then at the end, Udinese find a way to win. So probably Spezia deserved to win more than Udinese, but this is football. If you waste your chances, then you're going to be punished. And Udinese simply take them. So Udinese has a good team. I don't know if they're Europa League level. I mean, we said Fiorentina should be there. Sassuolo is probably a better team. So I think half the table, it's the best position for, it's going to be the end position for Udinese.
Yep, great stuff. Vittorio, thank you so much, my friend, as always. Let people know how they can catch you, how they can follow you on social media, and how they can catch up with your podcast as well.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Vittorio Campa, or otherwise on my podcast in English about Lazio, Lazio Lounge, and on YouTube as well. You can find me, iTunes, Spreaker, Spotify. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find me there.
He is everywhere. Make sure you get involved with Vittorio, follow, and make sure you subscribe to the Lazio Lounge and his YouTube channel as well. Thank you all so much for tuning in to another edition of Simply Serie A. It's been a great chat as always, and we will be back next week with more. Until then, take care. Ciao.